I've got a couple of short, two little things I want to share with you that are just kind of funny, but yet might make your lives a little bit simpler. They're not biblical, they're just good ideas. One is listed three little words. And how many of you ever get phone calls at home from people you don't want to talk to? And it's basically telephone marketers. Okay? Okay. How many of you were taught to be polite to people on the phone? Okay. Here's what the three little words are. When somebody calls who you really don't want to talk to, is you just use these three little words. You just say, hold on, please. And then you set the phone down. And when you're done doing what you are doing, go and talk to them. It's very simple. Let them wait until you're ready to talk to them. You don't have to drop what you're doing. They have asked for your time. Give it to them then. If the phone starts beeping because they hung up, well, you can go hang it up then. Okay. Another good idea is how many of you receive junk mail? Okay. When you get ads in your utility bill and that, you ever get ads in that? Okay, when you send your payment in, stick the ads in with the payment and send it back. Okay. When you get those junk mail ads with the prepaid postage thing, if they stick some other people's junk in there too and send it back to them, let them pay for the postage. You don't have to. They're sending you all this stuff. If you don't want it, send it back. Okay. This is just a couple of things that you can do. Make your life help. You don't have to put it in the trash. Saves you a little money. And maybe they'll get to the point that you don't want all that stuff, they'll stop sending it to you. Especially if a whole bunch of us do it. Okay. I had to share that with you because my mother sent it to me. And I'm an obedient son, and I'm just sharing things that she has told me to. So if you have an issue with it, talk to my mother. Okay. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible with you, check under the seat in front of you. We've got a few Bibles scattered throughout. Again, Gospel of John, chapter 4. We'll be starting with the 43rd verse. After 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water to wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick in Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. When he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then his father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And now, Lord, we ask that you'd send your Holy Spirit to guide us, to give us understanding, to illuminate that which is in darkness, to uncover that which is covered, and to reveal your truth. Father, I pray that you would bless us today by feeding us your word. which is true spiritual food. Let it nourish us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. Taking Jesus at His word. When I read this passage, that's what jumped out at me. The phrase, "The man took Jesus at His word and departed." That one phrase stands out like a beacon to me, just like it's pulsating. You know, I can't get away from it. We see what happened here is that he had an issue and he went to God with his problem. He went to God's prophet. He went to Jesus, who is more than just God's prophet, but indeed God incarnate. And this wasn't just a trip across the street. This man lived about a 2-day walk away, good strong walk. Now he heard that Jesus was down here. He had a problem. His son was ill. His son was dying. How many of you would travel 2 days away to seek help for a son or a daughter, a child whom you loved that was dying? Any of you parents? A couple of you didn't raise your hands. Maybe you don't. Which son? Yes. Which one took out the trash last? Which one did the dishes? Yeah. No, I would do it for any of them, even if they hadn't done what I'd asked for the most. I might not pick them up when they asked for a ride, but because that they were in dire straits, their health was in jeopardy, their very lives teetering on the edge, I would do whatever I had to, as I know most of you probably would too. And that's what this man did. And he wasn't just anybody. This was a royal official. Now, we're not sure here whether that is somebody who was in Herod's court or if this was somebody who was in the empire's court, who was an official of the Roman government. I would think that it would have been an imperial official, but I'm not sure on that. He could have been either one. But anyhow, this was somebody of importance. A royal official. And he goes to Jesus, goes to God, seeking assistance, not commanding. Please notice, he didn't say, "You shall come to my house and heal my child." This is an royal official. He's used to giving that type of order. He didn't. He went to Jesus and said, "I have a problem. Will you please take it and make it better?" I mean, that's what a child does to their father or their mother, don't they? When they have a problem, say, "Can you make it better?" That's what it boils down to. You know, "Kiss my boo-boo, make it better." How many did that? I did it for my kids. I did it as a kid. "It hurts. Just all better." We laugh, but it did make it better. And you know what? When we were that small child and our parents said, "It's better." "Okay." We took our parent at their word. "It's better. Okay." And off they go. That's exactly what this royal official does. God says, "It's handled. Your son's going to be okay." Does the man ask Jesus, "Are you sure? You sure you don't want to send one of your disciples with me just in case?" No. He says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Okay, all better. That's what he did. He believed on God's word, what God said, and he acted accordingly. Now, why is that? Well, we do that with our parents when we're small children. Why? Because we feel our parents are trustworthy. We know they love us. We know that they wouldn't tell us something false about something important like that. You know, my boo-boo's been all better now. Okay. Now that seems rather simplistic. But then, aren't our problems to God rather simplistic? The very creator of the universe, I think he can handle my problems. It's not too tough for him. Neither are your problems for him. They're not too tough. It's like the boo-boo. Seriously. He can kiss it and make it all better. But what if it's somebody strange and you didn't know them? I've done that with little kids. Oh, no. Let me kiss and make it better. No. They want their mom. Dad's okay if mom's not there, but they want their mom. Kind of thing. They don't want pastor. You know, now nobody else is around, maybe. But they don't know mom is there or dad is there. Or Brianna knows Georgie. Did I say that right, George? Yeah. Now, why? Because they believe. That what they say is the truth, that they can handle it. One, first, they believe that they're capable of dealing with it, and two, they believe that what they're saying is true. When my mother said it was okay, I believed her. Well, why don't we believe God when He says it's okay? He tells us that all the time. He tells us that He will never leave us, never forsake us. Well, maybe it's because He doesn't tell us the truth all the time. No, that's not the case. We know for a fact God doesn't lie. The fact that He, by His very nature, He is truth. Isaiah 54, the tail end of verse 19 says, I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. God, by His very nature, is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, and what else was it? The truth and the life. I am the truth. So He doesn't lie. Well, has He given us any promises that we should be trusting in? Maybe He never told us something, a promise, so we don't, that we should be trusting Him. Well, let's see. He has told us, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Luke 10:9. That's kind of a neat promise. He's promised us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. He also said, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. He gives us promise after promise. I could list off Literally, we could go through the Bible and find hundreds of promises. True? And he's never reneged on a one of them. There is not one promise that has been found to be not true. But yet, we, or maybe you guys don't, but I, anyways, quite often find myself wandering around not believing what God has said and acting accordingly. See, the man took Jesus at his word. Now, I know that God has promised to take care of my children. That if I raise them up, right, and if I care for them and love them, that He will take care of them. But you'd be surprised at the number of times when I stay up at night sleeping because Donna is kicking me so that I... No. Because I am worried about my kids. And sometimes I say, aha. See, this is why I stay up late. Because Jason called me at midnight the other night. He was out of gas. See, I was right to stay up. Be worried. He was fine. Really. Police showed up, pushed him out of the way. They probably would have taken him down to the gas station to get gas if he already didn't have me coming to bring him gas. But God took care of it. He was fine. He was safe. Did I really need to stay up waiting for him until he got home from work? Probably not. Do I need to worry about him? No, God has him in his hand. But yet, sometimes I want to take back that worry. We do that all the time. And here's how we do it. We go to God when we are deep in trouble, just as we're supposed to. And we take that trouble to Him. And we pray. And we read the Bible. And we go to church. And we sing hymns. And we sing praise choruses. And we read the Bible some more. And we pray. We ask our friends and neighbors to pray for us. And then we find that things are better. God has been faithful. He has answered promises. And then we find that we're not praying anymore. Or at least not as much. We're getting to church late, or maybe just missing the service entirely. Show up in time for desserts. And maybe we find that, that quiet time or the time that we were spending reading our Bible every day is now down to once a week. If we're really doing good that week, we get in once a week. And we find that, I've got this worry, this trouble again. I've got this issue and that issue. What we've done is we've gone back to the foot of the cross and maybe dug around in the pile and picked up a couple things and drug it back again. I had this problem, that worry. Well, I'm doing so well. You know what, God? I think I can handle it. I'll take care of it from here. You got me through the rough part. Now I'll do it. And then we find that we can't do it again. We got this crushing worry, this burden, this thing that... Then we go back to God. Anybody ever do that scenario? I'm not the only one, am I? Okay, a couple of us have. We need to take Jesus at His word. We need to take it to the cross and leave it there. Now, you need to remember that this man didn't just take Jesus at His word and then was done. But we see here that So he and all his household believed. They believed. And he found out the mercy, the grace, the love of Christ, his power. When he saw that, he believed. I have seen the love, the mercy, the grace of Jesus Christ. I believe. We have examples of his love, his mercy, his grace on the table before us this day. We have the bread, which represents his broken body. We have the juice, which represents his shed blood. We have oil, which represents his promise that by his shed blood we are healed in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son. The Son came, he lived, he died, he was resurrected for our sins. The Son then sent the Holy Spirit to live, to reside in our hearts, to be the comforter, to be the healer, to be the one who gives empowerment to get us through those things where we can't get through on our own. We're going to take communion this morning. And as we do, I'm going to ask that if you need prayer, come forward at any time. If you need anointing with oil for healing, whether that be a physical healing, a spiritual healing, an emotional healing, please seek prayer. Tell us what you need. Tell God what you need. We'll just be his agents in praying for you, because he's the one who does the work. But believe on the promises of the Lord. He has promised that he would be there for us. He said that there's no temptation that he doesn't give us a way out of. Now, we can't find that way if we're not spending time with him. But he's provided it for us. We need to do that. Now, we take communion. I'm going to ask the elders to come forward. We're going to take communion. Then we're going to sing, Standing on the Promises. Again, at any time during any of that, you may come forward for prayer. Let's pray before we go to the table. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just help each of us to search our hearts. That right now, as we come to the table, we would recognize our shortfalls, those times where we haven't leaned on you, that we haven't believed on your promises. We haven't done things the way you wanted us to do it, because somehow or other we thought we knew better. Lord, help us to take you at your word and to live that way in each and everything. Now minister to us through the communion table. In Jesus' name, amen.